In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Something interesting this week. It was a news program, and they were reporting on all of the major events of the past year. So they talked about everything that was significant for 2 hours, you know, in 2011. Part of this news show was, about politics, of course. There was a whole section on celebrities that was kind of gossipy, you know, who broke up and all that stuff. And all the news that we know from the year. But there was one important segment that I found kind of touching, and it was about heroes. People that gave of themselves, sometimes very quietly, but heroically. You know, they gave of themselves for the good of another person. And I remember one story that I hadn't heard in the news in 2011, but it was really remarkable. I just want to share it with you. This gentleman had crashed his motorcycle, and his motorcycle was on flames, and he somehow got thrown underneath a vehicle, and he's trapped, and the motorcycle's on fire. And there was a group of people that they had a film of this. Somebody filmed it. It was about 8 or 10 people, and you could see them kind of thinking and gathering together and saying, we need to do something. So this group of people bands together, and they approach the car, and they start rocking it, and in all their strength, they actually lift it up, and they pull the man to safety. The whole time, this motorcycle's in flames, and I thought to myself, the car gonna blow up, you know? And maybe they thought that too, or maybe they didn't think that. But it was just a wonderful expression of human goodwill. And you see something like that and it almost restores your faith in the goodness of human nature. But even as I say that today, beloved, we're reminded that as Christians, you know, human nature is always fallen human nature. It's always sinful human nature. So everything we do, when we see little glimpses of goodness and goodwill and people genuinely loving, we have to realize that this is all from God. And apart from God, we can do absolutely nothing. Look at the epistle we just heard today. This is the Sunday before Nativity, and we heard about all the saints throughout history, beginning with Abraham, who had the faith. Remember what it says about Abraham? He sojourned in a foreign land, and he searched for a city with a foundation, and its builder and its maker was God. So God is at the center of everything we do. And then it goes into all the saints, a whole litany of names and things they accomplished. And those heroic deeds are what triggered me to think of the news story about just the common heroes who saved a life. You know, think of what the saints did. They stopped the mouths of lions. They were sawed in two. They endured torture. They had soldiers brought back to life, etc., etc. It's many, many miraculous, wonderful things that these people, these human people, were able to accomplish. But in the end, and that's what the epistle tells us today, even they did not see the promise. Because God saw something better for us. Interestingly, they did not receive the promise because God wanted something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. That means that God is behind everything, and everything is pointing to Jesus Christ and his coming into the world. What does it mean to be made perfect? Well, it starts with Jesus. We can't do it on our own. It doesn't mean perfect behavior. It doesn't mean we're good all the time. It doesn't mean we muster up enough charity and goodwill. It means we belong to the one who is perfect. Perfect God and perfect man. Jesus Christ. And God saw fit to save all of his people. That's why all the saints of the Old Testament are brought in today. And we're told that even that had to wait for God to come into the world and make us all together as one, perfect. So we cannot do anything without God, and we never can take him out of the equation of our lives. Very important thing to remember today as we approach the great feast of the Lord's Nativity. That's why I love the gospel today, the gospel of the genealogy. Did you ever notice how it goes through great lengths to tell us how Jesus was produced? And so had a son, and so had a son. It's like reading a family. It's telling us how Jesus came to be, and after the whole list, three sets of 14, we get this, well, it ends with Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, from whom was born Jesus, the Christ. And Mary conceived Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus didn't come about through human agency or human will. It's all written in the genealogy to fulfill the prophecy, but ultimately it comes from God. After all those lists, it's God in the end who gives us Jesus, perfect God and perfect man. We can't do anything without God, and when we take him out of the equation, see, the danger in that is we risk trying to save the world, trying to fix the world without Jesus. And that's a fruitless task. That leads to darkness. We always need God. We always need Jesus. So we emphasize that today, beloved in Christ, as we approach Nativity, as I had just said, because there's always this thought, I know it's in our minds probably a lot of times throughout the year, but especially at Christmas, you know, sometimes where is God in all this? And when we say all this, we mean all the things that come around the holiday seasons, you know, with shopping and merchandising and partying and special things that often detract us from what's important. Where is God? What does God have to do with it? I remember, I'm going to share a kind of a funny story from my childhood. When I was in fifth grade, one of my teachers, Sister Mary Margaret, she told us, you know, if you ever see Xmas, like Christmas written with an X, she says, you never do that because you're taking the Christ out of Christmas. Good point, right? Don't X out Jesus. So I learned that as a boy. And then a little bit later on, my father was writing Christmas cards, and I saw him jot a note down, and, you know, Merry Xmas. And I was shocked. I said, Dad, what are you doing? You're taking the Christ out of Christmas. And he kind of just looked at me, and he said, no, he's right there. He's the X. You know, and he was thinking of how Christ is expressed in the Greek alphabet. Sometimes in Orthodoxy, we see the X and the C, you know, so Xmas, he is there. I'm not taking the Christ out of Christmas. I'm putting him in. Oh, that's a different way of looking at it. I share this with you today, beloved, because sometimes it's not fruitful to get so hung up on language and expression. You know, what's in a person's heart and what they believe is really important. And sometimes our language fails to convey accuracy. One person might see that as a scandal and removing Christ. Another person says, no, he's right in there. He is the X, right? Well, as Christians, we know Jesus is the reason for the season, obviously. He's why we're here. And sometimes we get torn away from that. Sometimes we get tempted into putting our focus on other things. Sometimes we even get mad and we want to protest. And I know in recent years, especially, there's been talk of retailers and companies and businesses, you know, taking the word Christmas even out of all the expression of what goes on this time of the year. It's now holidays and seasons, right? So Christians get upset and they say, what are they doing? You know, we have to express that this is Christ. It's all about Christ. We know that, don't we? We know that. And I think about it. And when I say don't get too hung up on words, think about this. You know, maybe it seems like Christ is removed from Christmas a lot, but that's been going on for a long time. And even if companies, you know, like Walmart or Walgreens, if they use the word Christmas and they put that in their advertising, are they really interested in proclaiming the birth of Christ to the world? Are they really interested in telling the world that God became man in Jesus Christ? Or are they interested in something else, you know, getting people to a sale? Just think about that. Sometimes we don't want to get too hung up on the words and things that we can't change. Especially at Christmas, as a Christian, as a believer, what we should do is focus on the things we have control over. You know, if commercialism and excess offends us, you know, let's look at that. Let's practice moderation. Let's not be so excessive in our spending. Let's give to somebody who doesn't have instead of the people who we don't know what to buy for them because they have everything, right? Let's give to the person who doesn't have anything and maybe not even the essentials. And most importantly, let's not do it because we want to fix the world. Let's not do it because if everybody was kind to everyone else, the world would be a better place and we'd all be saved. No. We do it because Jesus, our Lord, the reason for the season, the reason for our lives, tells us to do it. Tells us to do it, if you love me, if you believe in God, you do this. So we do it in response. Put all of our faith in God, beloved. It's hard at this time of the year. So many things pulling us in every direction, and it's almost absurd, really, when you think about it. You look around. It's so busy, we don't have time for people, we don't have time to express, we don't have time to share, we don't have time to love, to give a kind word to somebody. And if this is what Jesus Christ came in the world to fix, let us respond to that. Let us respond by loving and making the time and doing his will in all things. As we approach Nativity, as we approach Christmas, let us keep this in mind and keep Jesus in our hearts, the real reason for this season. You and I know that. Let's express that in our lives and in our words to one another and in our prayers, and let the world see that through how we believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.